Well, friends, in 1940, Britain was in dire straits. It was at war with a powerful aggressor, Hitler's Germany. And Britain wasn't winning. Britain desperately needed a hero to save them. And a hero came in the form of Winston Churchill. Churchill came and rallied the nation and stiffened their resolve against aggression. And ultimately, Churchill led Britain to defeat Hitler. Churchill, the hero, saved Britain. Well, in the time preceding Jesus' birth, Israel also needed a hero. Israel was under foreign occupation by an aggressor in Rome. Israel was looking intently for a hero who'd save them. A king, a Messiah or Christ, to save them from Rome. They were looking for the long-promised great king like David who'd come and establish his kingdom forever. And this hero king who'd save them from Rome would be a descendant of David. So in Luke chapter 1 verse 27 we find Mary, who's actually married into David's line. She's betrothed to Joseph, so she's legally his wife, though she's still a virgin. Nonetheless, she's told by an angel that she'll conceive a son by the power of God's Holy Spirit, and that she's to name him Jesus, which is a version of Joshua, or the Lord is salvation. She's told that he'll occupy the throne of his ancestor David forever. So Mary's told that this Jesus will be the long-awaited hero of Israel. And Mary can be confident that the conception will happen despite her virginity, since God had already caused her very elderly relative Elizabeth to become fertile and had caused Elizabeth to conceive with her husband in her old age. So when Joseph, Mary's betrothed, is compelled by Rome to go to Bethlehem, the city of David, then Mary goes too. And we read in chapter 2, verse 5, that she's with child. In fact, she's obviously very, very heavily pregnant because her baby's actually born while they're in Bethlehem. And since there's no room in the inn, Jesus is wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger in a dirty animal feed trough. Now, given that Jesus is to be Israel's king, we would have expected pomp and ceremony. But there's none, just a baby in a dirty manger. But an angel appears in chapter 2, verse 9. This time the angel appears to shepherds, to common, humble people engaged in their common, humble work. And the angel allays their fears like the angel had allayed Mary's fears earlier. They shouldn't fear because he brings them great good news of great joy. He brings them joyous news for all the people, that is for all Israel, because a Saviour's been born that day in the city of David. This Saviour, who's Christ, God's heroic King. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger, who's actually the King. And so the shepherds find Jesus just as the angel had said, the swaddling cloths, the manger. The angel's sign is fulfilled. The shepherds know that the baby in the manger is the Saviour, the King from David's line, Christ the Lord. And understandably, these humble shepherds go away and glorify and praise God for all they've heard and seen. Well, friends, the new parents, Joseph and Mary, were obedient Jews. So at the right time, they take Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. We see in chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. And this would have been 40 days after Jesus' birth. That was the normal time. And friends, in verse 25, we meet a particular Israelite who'd been hoping for a king from David's line, who'd been hoping for the coming Christ, the hero who'd save God's people. This particular Israelite hanging out for the arrival of God's hero is Simeon. He's righteous and devout, And that's demonstrated in the fact that he's been longing for God to save his people. According to verse 25, he's been longing for the consolation of Israel. And God's Holy Spirit is upon Simeon, and the Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't die before he saw the Lord's Christ, the one who would be the consolation of Israel. So Simeon's drawn into the temple by the Spirit, and he sees the baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph, and Simon recognizes Jesus, this very little baby, as the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel, as the consolation to Israel. So Simeon holds Jesus and utters those beautiful words from verse 29. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Friends, with his own eyes, Simeon has seen what the faithful in Israel always longed for and what he'd been promised by God. He's seen God's salvation in the form of the baby Jesus. He can therefore now die in peace because he knows that in Jesus, God's salvation has come to God's people. God's salvation has come through God's hero. Well, friends, Winston Churchill in his time and place was a hero. The hero who led Britain in its darkest hour and led her to victory. The hero who was, in a sense, Britain's saviour. But the salvation, the saving that Churchill brought, was not just for Britain, of course. It was for other peoples as well. In fact, for freedom-loving peoples all throughout the world. So in a sense, Churchill was the saviour and hero, not just of Britain, but of many peoples. And friends, so also the salvation that Simeon recognised in the infant Jesus, the long-awaited hero of Israel, that salvation is not just for Israel. It's for all people in bondage. In Simeon's words in verse 31, the salvation had been prepared by God in the presence of all peoples, not just before Israel. In verse 32, this salvation, which is also described by Simeon as light, this salvation is for revelation to the Gentiles. That is, not just for Jews, not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles, all nations, all ethnic groups, all peoples, including Israel. And this salvation, this light from God, wrapped in this little baby, Jesus, is particularly for the glory of God's historic people, Israel. This salvation is for Israel's glory because it is indeed from their nation, from amongst the Jews, that salvation comes for all people. Now, friends, national Israel was in bondage under Rome, and so Israel certainly needed saving, needed salvation. But in what sense would Jesus bring salvation to all the nations? The text says that he'll bring salvation for all nations. And in what sense did those nations need salvation? For example, Rome, that powerful nation, it was part of the nations. In fact, Rome was the most powerful nation. And Rome was not politically oppressed. Rome was the political oppressor. So how could Rome need salvation? How could Rome need deliverance? But friends, the salvation that Jesus brings is not salvation from political oppression. It's salvation from a deeper peril. You see, Jesus brings salvation from captivity to sin. Jesus came to save people of all nations and peoples from the ravages and penalty of sin. If he'd come simply to bring political freedom to Israel, everyone within Israel would have been pleased with him. Everyone would have believed in him, like the shepherds did at his birth, like Simeon did. However, according to Simeon, there will be rising and falling in Israel because of Jesus. Some will trust him as God's heroic saviour from their greatest enemy, sin and hell, and some will oppose him. Friends, not all within Israel believe in Jesus, God's Christ, the Saviour, and we don't have to read much further in Luke's Gospel to discover that. Friends, in 1940, Britain and the free world was looking for a hero to save them from the mess they faced, to deal with the source of that mess, Hitler. And Winston Churchill stepped up as that hero and saved the free world. But friends, it wasn't just Britain in 1940 that was in a mess. It just wasn't the world of that time that was in a mess. Today, friends, our world is also in a mess. You know that, and I know that. We see it on the TV and in the newspaper every day. We see war, violence, hatred, injustice, sexual exploitation. Friends, don't you long for the mess of our world to be sorted out? Don't you and I, don't we long for a hero to come and rid the world of that mess? Friends, just yesterday morning on the radio, the announcer was lamenting the recent terrorism and other tragic events, like the homicides in Cairns. And the announcer said on Christmas Eve, he said, "This morning we're going to see if we can find a Christmas hero. God knows we need one." And of course he's right, isn't he? We do need a hero. And a few hours later, the radio announcer did find a Christmas hero, or at least he said so. He found some lady who won a prize for having the best decorated shop display in her suburb, which of course might be very nice for her, but it hardly makes her a Christmas hero. Friends, you don't need me to tell you that our world is in a mess. And friends, we do desperately need a hero to sort that mess out. We need a hero who can deal with the source of the mess. A hero that can deal with the human heart. You see, friends, war and violence and hatred and injustice and sexual immorality and exploitation, they all stem from human hearts. They stem from my heart and they stem from yours. Friends, the Bible describes the human heart as naturally wicked and sinful, as the cause of what's wrong with the world. The Bible teaches that fundamentally it's our hearts that need changing and that we can't change ourselves, we can't save ourselves. Friends, that's fundamentally why Jesus entered this world. The Bible tells us categorically that Jesus is God the Son come in weak human flesh. That in Jesus, the true and living God became a human being so that he could take the punishment for our sins, death by crucifixion, to pay for our sins, for your sin and for mine, so that God could forgive us our sins and make our hearts new, so that we can enjoy eternal life with him in a new heavens and a new earth where forever there will be no mess. There'll be no war, no hatred, no grief, no exploitation. Friend, this Christmas, my hope and prayer is that you are personally trusting in Jesus Christ, the true Christmas hero, who came once as a baby and died on a cross for forgiveness of your sin, for remaking of your heart so that you will be saved for eternity. Friend, the very best gift that you can receive today is the hero of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ himself.